fabulous Sex Talk listeners, and welcome to yet another exciting episode. Tonight we have a very, very special show for you. I, DJ, the worm in the heart of the rose, have been seeing my therapist lately, and my therapist has been telling me, we've been talking about my life, my needs, my desires. Where do I want to be in 5 years?
Can't you just send him tapes of the show?
Well, he actually thinks that would interfere with the process. And I was talking to him a little bit about the show, in fact, Lance, and he said that this whole notion of guest was a crutch. It was something that I was using just to help me along, because I was afraid to have a whole show by myself, just you, me, Lance, and the listening audience. And so tonight, we're going to perform an experiment where it's just going to be you, me, the thousands of listeners out there, talking about our wants.
So that explains the rotting corpse of Dr. Joyce Brothers, our scheduled guest, who is now dead and thus unable to be the guest on the program.
Well, you know, as always, as you know, Lance, my needs come first. And, you know, it was actually pretty difficult to schedule Dr. Brothers. I know she's very busy, but you know, she, when I told her I had to bump her, she got a little irate, and she had to be terminated.
Hard to schedule, easy to kill, I think, though. That's the way it goes.
So, yes, and, you know, and then, well, and you know, I mean, my first guest was Charles Schultz. And,
well, I guess we should say that even though it is just you, me, and our listening public, people should feel free to call in if they have something they want to talk about with us.
Wait, do we have dial-in phone lines that work?
I'm not sure, but if we did, they would be at 621-9728. That's 621-WRCT. Or here on the CMU campus, and you want to save the valuable 0.3 calories it would take to make the extra keystrokes.
Saving those calories, I presume, for sex or at least masturbation.
That's true. 268-9728.
So, by the way, there's actually several people that I've told and I've encouraged to listen to the show. Don't listen to tonight's show if you're looking for, like, one of our funny ones. this show is going to be a straight spiral right down to the pits of hell. And so.
Well, since informally I often play the role of your therapist, why don't I take that role more explicitly now and encourage you to a little free association?
How does that work? Do I just start sharing my thoughts, or do you give me a word to key off of? Is there do you have an ink blot that I should be looking at?
Why don't we play some word association games? I'll give you a word, and then you can respond to them.
All right, that sounds great. Ready? Sounds good. Dogma. Oh, I'm sorry. No.
very eager to get started, I see.
Wait, are you a licensed therapist?
In the state of Massachusetts. Well, no, I'm a licensed mediator in the state of Massachusetts.
Really?
Yes. So I can legally mediate between your id and your subconscious.
Interesting.
So shall we begin?
Yes.
Shaft.
So there are these two guys, like, tonight in the locker room. Right, am I supposed to tell the whole story with each word or just there?
It's up to you. This is all about you.
So there I was. I actually just came back from one of my workout rituals, and I was running alone, of course, because I was also experiencing this post-Valentine's Day loneliness. And then I came back to the locker room, and there were these two hot undergrad freshmen sitting in the hot tub. Were they waiting for me?
I wonder. I think in some cosmic sense, yes.
They didn't really look at me or like invite me to have sex with them or anything. So I don't know. My problem has always been that I don't know how to cruise for gay.
Well, I mean, they didn't invite you to have sex with them in so many words, but didn't they use gay code? I mean, might not have they been speaking in some sort of gay code by saying hi or I'll see you later? Doesn't that mean
Right. Well, normally, yeah, there wasn't actually any contact like that. One of them actually did open the door for me, and actually, more correctly,
what stronger metaphor could you want for an invitation?
Well, I was going to say more accurately, he opened the door and then let it close in my face, and then he said, "Oh, sorry, I didn't see you there."
No. I think that's just I think that's just an invitation to sex with a little bit of an S&M undercurrent.
I actually looked at it the wrong way. I thought, you know, I am so invisible to these hunky 18-year-old undergrads that they can't even hold the door open to me. I'm just that repulsive to them.
Maybe they expect you to take charge.
Interesting. So, well, I was holding one of them down and trying to press my erection into his firm backside, but then the other one hit me over the head with a wine bottle, and then I blacked out.
They allow, I mean, is the CMU hot tub now a bring-your-own-wine area?
Well, there is a cash bar in the showers. Oh, God.
I'm intrigued with something you said, your post-Valentine's Day depression. As yes. someone who is naive in the ways of love, I'm curious to know what you mean. Is that like postpartum depression that mothers feel after giving birth, after giving up part of themselves?
It's good Lord. I am so happy. Thank you so much for being here. So for the viewers who did not experience, it's actually interesting. This is like a miracle on so many multiple levels. Like, first of all, the show was going straight down the toilet. Lance and I did not have a guest, and I was praying. I was praying that someone might just show up spontaneously. And then, but also at the same time, I was talking with these hot undergrads who were in the hot tub rejecting me. And here you are, two hot undergrads who are rejecting me.
They're here to reject you in person.
You tried to hook up with someone in the hot tub.
Well, no, I don't even get that far. I don't even get to like the hooking up point. I'm like, I get to the point where I notice that they're attractive, and then they look at me and threaten violence, and then it's over.
Do they actually threaten violence, or are they speaking with their eyes?
My own self-loathing takes over, and I don't even try, really. Hmm. Maybe it's about me. Maybe
you have a self-confidence problem. I mean, maybe that's a great understatement, but...
well, maybe that's it. Do you think that if I just loved myself a little bit more... maybe the two of you could help me learn to love myself.
We've been trying to do this since the summer, and it's not working.
Well, I mean...
Producer Kate says, speak into your microphone or be...
Forever not be hurt.
I mean, if you love yourself too much, won't you be too spent for these hot tub shenanigans?
Well, I do have kind of a soothing lotion that I apply to my penis before masturbation.
Hopefully this is like after you go into the hot tub.
Because while you're in the hot tub, you can't get any dates.
Yeah. So, but we were just about to talk about Valentine's Day and DJ.
It sucked.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, DJ Worm in the Heart of the Rose was complaining about a post-Valentine's Day depression.
Post-Valentine's
Day? I think that once it hits midnight February 15th, the depression kind of rises off. Yeah. It pretty much disappears.
Well, so let's go into that a little bit. So here you are, Pittsburgh's most fabulous eligible gay man. Mm-hmm. And you're both in a relationship, I think. Some kind of. What did you do on Valentine's Day?
I did nothing. I got a present.
Oh,
yeah.
Seth, a good present.
Seth brought me a present.
Mm. Seth.
Seth. Pit boy.
Hmm.
And University of Pittsburgh boy, not. Pit boy. That's
kind of a fetishy thing.
Please, what is a pit boy?
University of Pittsburgh.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. As opposed to someone who you'd like keep in the crawl space under your house.
It really sucked. Like I just did some work and I went home and watched Golden Girls and because they had their Valentine's special thing
they
going.
They did.
And yeah.
Is there some sexual connotation to Golden Girls that I'm not?
No, it's not. We just love them. Oh.
4 times a day.
Yep.
It's an addiction.
As much as DJ Worm loves himself.
Right.
But I thought his problem was he didn't love himself enough.
Oh. So he pleasures himself. That's different than loving yourself.
Right.
I mean, do you think that when I'm in the gym in one of these cruisy situations, I come off as too needy? I mean, maybe if I took a different psychological approach where I acted like I didn't care what they thought.
Well, first of all, you shouldn't be cruising to the CMU gym.
Right, that's a mistake in itself.
Yeah, there's no one there.
Oh, contrary, what about all the pie cap boys or whatever?
Okay.
Pie cap? What is
it? Fraternity. Pie cap? Fraternity.
Phi Delta.
Delta Delta Chi. Guy.
Yeah. Delta Felta Guy. That's a porn I actually have.
You lent it to me. I have it, actually. Actually, I've lent it to someone else now, so.
I need it back.
We'll see when that gets back.
Is that a really good one?
You know, the best, very poorly made. Yeah. It's very, very home.
Very low budget.
Home, yeah, like home video quality.
Sometimes that has its own charm, though, as in the Blair Witch Project.
Well, like, why do you have that one? Like, I mean, that must have cost like $50, right?
I
mean, like,
because I got mine for free. I've never bought one.
Oh, interesting. Oh, how did you get it for free?
Oh, I steal them from exes.
That's where, actually, you know what the truth of the matter is? That's where I've got my small but sufficient porn collection has all come from. Exes or exes, yeah, roommates.
As long as you have like two or three and you just keep rotating them, that's you're
right.
Fine.
That's right.
See, again, this is one area where gay relationships seem clearly superior to straight relationships because my exes had no porn to steal.
That's true.
I mean, is the kind of situation you're describing actually women who actually are threatened by porn, I mean, or turned off by porn?
Or just that the only porn that women would have if women had porn would most likely be porn of men, and why would a heterosexual man be interested in stealing pictures or videos of naked men?
The sort of pop view of porn for women is it's much more relationship oriented. Mm-hmm. You know, there's less sort of ass slapping and actual liquid flying around. You know, it's more about feelings.
So a woman is
so boring porn.
A woman is less likely to own like an soft anal porn. Rape video, for example.
Your typical woman, yeah.
Okay. Well.
But again, So, with my small sample size, I found that to be the case. But clearly, right, in a gay relationship where both partners have an equal interest in bringing porn into the situation,
yeah,
it's a different story.
It seems to work out.
So, you guys are both still students, right?
I mean, yes.
Like, so, it stands to reason that if I were to give you, like, $200, you would make an amateur porn video for me. Because you could use the money.
No, I was offered $1,500.
$1,500? Wow.
Sweet Halle Selassie, that's...
One day of work, and I got to choose who I...
You did it?
No, I didn't do it.
What do you mean you got to choose? Well,
could you have chosen the reanimated corpse of Vladimir Lenin, just for example?
If I really wanted to.
Whoa.
Wow. I'd pay for that. So... Actually, $1,500. I mean, I don't know if I could really afford $1,500. I mean, for $1,500, I'd want it to be like
you
know, anal you? Snuff porn, basically.
Oh dear.
I mean, in some sense, if it's actual anal snuff porn, you probably don't have to pony up the money eventually. So you could tell them you were going to pay.
That
the
could be blackmail. That's so you wouldn't owe us anything.
I don't know what snuff porn is.
It just sounds bad.
Oh yeah. No, actually, snuff films are. Films where one of the people in the film gets killed at the end.
Literally, though.
Literally.
Well, as long as I'm not the person that's getting killed.
No.
Is this going back to, like, the whole, like, animal squishing thing? Do you remember that over the summer?
Yes. Back when we had these guests on before, anytime.
Yeah. Our virtual
we're veterans here.
We discussed a new story about a strange fetish that involved women stomping up and down in mice as men, you know, which drove certain men, apparently, into an erotic frenzy. An erotic frenzy of a nature incomprehensible to our panel of sex experts at the time.
But back to Valentine's
Day. I was just going to say, how did we manage to stray? That was a definite gay tangent.
Yeah, porn, it's like a crossbow of topics.
Exactly.
It just shoots little arrows of interest all over the place.
My Valentine's Day consisted... No! Mm-hmm. Phone sex.
You had phone sex on Valentine's Day?
Yes.
I got a phone bill on Valentine's Day.
Do phone sex workers get, like...
I bought a phone card.
Exactly.
That's how I am.
I'm liking this phone tangent.
We should remind our listeners that if they want to call in, the phone number here is 621-9728.
Valentine's Day, in my opinion, it's as bad as you make it. I mean, there are the obnoxious show-off people who spend the day walking around with big Mylar balloons and teddy bears and flowers and chocolate and candy. And the way it's supposed to be, Valentine's Day is supposed to be a private expression of your love for the person you're with. Mm. And if it's anything beyond that, flowers delivered to the office, handing someone flowers in class, it's all just for other people to see. So a completely... It takes the real emotion out of it, in my opinion.
Really?
But yet I'd be happy to date any of those people that are like that.
I mean, I will never forget... I will never forget last Valentine's Day, which is why I can't say this one was too bad. I worked in a medical office back home that was pretty gay unfriendly. The clientele was very gay unfriendly. And it was the day after Valentine's Day, and I was on break. My boyfriend apparently came up to the front desk with 3 dozen roses and a dozen huge balloons arranged in the pride colors to the front desk at my office with a big box of chocolates. And the first thing I said when I walked up to him was, "What the hell are you doing here?" It was embarrassing. I don't want that public expression. It's a private thing. And people who make it more is, it takes away from it, in my opinion.
I'll agree, unless it's really, really expensive.
What's the cutoff? How expensive is really expensive? Are we talking $1,500?
Like rock or something, you know? Show it up. New car?
I was
going to
say, like,
red car?
Pathfinder up is pretty sufficient.
So, DJ Worm in the Heart of the Rose, can you come up with those Pathfinder dollars?
Well, like I said, in the right situation. I mean, I'm going to want this is a definite tit for tat kind of scenario, if you know what I mean. So, yes, you know, I could lease a Pathfinder.
Lease? I don't think that.
Well, you could just invite us to your house, provide enough alcohol that we have sex, and hide a video camera.
Really?
True, but that probably wouldn't provide. That would be a little grainy. Wouldn't have quite the right lighting.
No. Let's. I think we should.
Yeah. Andy, what are you doing after the show?
So actually, it's interesting you should mention this because last week, and I know, Andrew, you always like to be, you don't like to be one-upped, basically. You like to be the star of the show. Last week,
there is no.
I had a gorgeous undergrad dancing naked in the center of this room during the show.
Who was it?
Pantsless Joe. I actually don't know his real name, but he went by Pantsless Joe.
Who could that have been?
A friend of Della, who did the vagina monologues.
We don't say that word.
Monologue?
Thank you. Was he a CMU student?
Yeah, I think so. Like, actually,
he needs to call it.
That was the whole point.
He needs to come down.
Yeah.
It's been a long week for me.
He actually said he was more comfortable naked than in clothes, and it was not very difficult.
I sleep naked, and I just make my roommate.
Why couldn't I have gotten him as a roommate this year?
I know.
That would have been fabulous.
I have a fabulous.
I get the sense you have a hidden agenda here, DJ Worm in the Heather Rose, where you're daring.
You wanted me to, yeah.
One of our guests to one up our previous guests.
And since you have actually stripped professionally in the past, it would seem, I think you'd be comfortable doing it. It would be good practice for the summer when you go back to your.
I'm not going to do it once I go back. And I'm not wearing white socks, so the question's out.
Can't we send our intern / cabana boy Hank out for the White Sox?
No. Maybe next time.
I think I have a dollar.
A dollar.
That doesn't buy very good socks these days.
No, I mean to put in your
little. What happened to our show creator of treating our guests with respect? I thought we were going to turn over a new leaf.
We're no longer like guests.
Right.
We're family.
We've kind of molded into the couches.
Yeah.
So can we ask what gift you got for Valentine's Day? Aside from the...
I got a school.
Sorry.
Book of philosophy and wisdom from a friend. It's very nice.
That's not very Valentine's Day oriented.
Oh, please. It was chicken soup for the gay soul, wasn't it?
No, it was not. Do they have that?
They must.
They
have chicken soup for everything else. For pets.
They don't have it yet. I want royalties on that idea. You heard it here first.
No, I did not receive any Valentine's Day presents. I received a Valentine's Day card from my aunt.
Aw.
That is the
I got the one from my grandma.
Isn't that sort of creepy?
I shouldn't be admitting that on the air, you know, for fear that people are going to listen and laugh, but it's true.
Did she write, "It's always been you, Tom"?
No, that's scary.
I got one from my grandma about what a great grandson I was. And $50, so that's good.
And what?
$50.
I have a question. Like, how is it that, like... You didn't even know that you're going to be on the show, and yet you're both looking fabulous. Do you always dress this way?
I was sitting in my room doing homework. This old thing?
Yeah. What, this old thing?
Right. I try. I don't like looking grungy at school.
No.
Some people think college is an excuse to look like crap.
Mm.
I don't buy into that.
No.
Unless I've had a really bad night, and I don't have much of a choice.
I used to think that until my head wound. I've sort of changed my life since then.
Oh,
I understand.
It's all so much clearer now.
Yeah, that's why the big lopsided part on the left.
So, DJ Worm in the Heart of the Rose, can you tell us about your Valentine's Day? Did you get any presents?
It was actually really rad. My partner.
Did you give any presents?
The question.
I'm sorry. My partner and I don't really celebrate traditional holidays very much. It's kind of.
That means they're cheap.
Right, yeah.
Well, perhaps they have their own holiday of love.
It means partner for God.
Yeah. And the other one doesn't want to make the other.
St. Martinique Day that they made up all by themselves.
They'll exchange gifts on Arbor Day.
mean, we had sex, I remember, and we had like a nice little brief romantic moment, but we didn't do anything traditionally romantic. We didn't spend the evening together. We didn't go to dinner, and there were none of those flowers or the usual kind of romantic
things. You didn't spend the evening together, but yet you had sex.
Yeah, it was very efficient, actually.
Brutally efficient?
Yeah, I didn't even have... Yeah, it was... But you have to understand my special relationship. We're both busy. We're both busy people. We're not really like particularly romantic, and we, you know.
How busy are you if you can afford to spend hours a day sitting around in the hot tub on the off chance?
Do you live together?
Yes.
You do live together.
Yes. And so, you know, I mean, it was just sort of a routine. Like, I'd spend the day at school, he spends the day working, and then I come home and we spend our, like, quality time together every night.
15 minutes, having sex.
Have sex, go to Wendy's, you know.
Story it's of my life.
The status of Valentine's Day in the gay community intrigues me, because in the straight community, there's this sort of perception that Valentine's Day is something that women are into and that men sort of feel blackmailed into ponying up the goods, both emotional affection, attention, and material objects.
I called the person that I'm kind of like in a relationship with, and even though he's in Miami, I'm like, why did I receive something? Why didn't you fly in? I so expected something. I definitely, but that's me. I expect a lot.
I was actually told by somebody who I've been talking to a lot recently, who's not here this semester but far, far away, that I was told that I would be getting a Valentine's Day package in the mail this week, and I just keep telling myself that there's a lot of mail being delivered around February 14th, and there's probably just a back in the system, and I'll keep telling myself that. It'll be St. Patrick's Day, and I'll be telling myself that. It'll be the 4th of July, and I'll be telling myself that. And I'll wait and wait, and nothing will
start your life.
I hate Valentine's Day.
Me too.
I mean, it sounds like things have gone horribly wrong for you.
Just Valentine's Day, it's almost cliche. It's become very cliche to hate holidays. Like, I hate Christmas. It's too commercial. I hate Valentine's Day. It's too commercial.
Do you think the minor holidays like Flag Day and Arbor Day still can capture our love? And
I think holidays such as Arbor Day, Grand Friends Day, they still deserve our attention and affection. But
Grand Friends Day?
Grand Friends Day. Do you not celebrate that here in Pennsylvania?
What day is that?
It's Grand Friends Day. I don't know exactly what
day it is.
What's
a grand friend?
We celebrate our grandparents.
Oh, okay.
And
grand
our parents'
day.
It's Grand Friends. Well, maybe it was only...
Why is it Grand Friends?
Because that's the politically correct term for it, is Grand Friends.
Really? Because some grandparents aren't
actual parents? I didn't invent the day.
Grand Friends
I didn't
day.
Keep the phrase. Apparently just hasn't reached this far west yet. We're pretty advanced back
Is this the American Association for Retired Persons that's really been pushing hard?
I don't know, but we need to change the subject real fast.
But anyway, you know, I do hate Valentine's Day, and when I saw the clock switch over to midnight, I was more excited than I was when it hit the year 2000, because you spend the whole day kind of walking around on eggshells and feeling scorned and looking around at people who have all these fun things, who are so happy, and who have someone. And
well, that's just it. For that day, you know how I feel
every day.
Day of the year.
I still have a very difficult time understanding your predicament, because you are in a relationship where you live with somebody.
So you should be happy with that.
But it's part of human nature to keep wanting more.
The grass is always green. So like, if you just took off your shirt, that wouldn't really be stripping, right?
It's cold in here.
Come on, you know you want to. It's not cold in here. And actually, that's not the couch that I masturbate on, so there would be no... You wouldn't have to worry about getting in contact with anything. You know you want to.
So these little white marks are just like dried milk or something.
Right.
Well, Lance masturbates on the couch.
Wow.
Separate couches, you know.
Do you watch each other?
God. This show has reached a new level. So actually, see, the thing is, actually, we do watch each other, but
If it's reached a new low, it's your pickup that's been towing it down.
I have to wear a Catherine Zeta-Jones mask, and Lance has to wear a well, I changed
Jonathan Taylor Thomas mask.
Yeah, I was trying to decide between Will Wheaton, Matt Damon, and Jonathan Taylor Thomas, but
Will
right.
Wheaton isn't
is he a student here?
No, wasn't Will Wheaton the kid who played on Star Trek?
Yes, he was.
He was Wesley Crusher.
Wesley Crusher.
you know you're like a gay geek when you like it.
That's right. You're a Trekkie, but only because you like the Doctor's son.
You would actually look really cute in his little Wesley Crusher jumpsuit.
I would. That would be cute.
I'm feeling very, very, very rejected today.
No one's asking.
All of the sexual innuendos have been directed at Andrew.
I knew that.
Story of my life. Ever since I've known Andrew, he's done nothing but bring down my self-esteem with his mere presence. Thanks. Happy Valentine's.
That is true.
Can't we find a workaround to this problem?
You know, this is... Someone just asked Tom to get naked, okay?
See what I have to deal with? Then I get pity. Then I get sympathy.
No, although I'm sure, I believe I can speak with the full authority of our host by saying that happy though he would be to see you naked, he'd be even happier to see you both naked.
Two dicks are better than one.
Does that keep going like 3, 4, 5? I mean, does it keep going up, or do you like asymptote out at around 10?
But I just compliment. I can't be sufficient on my own. It's very sad. It's very sad.
Actually, this reminds me. You should come to my thing tomorrow night.
Things are very vague term.
So, there was this hit, which we talked about on the show. There was this hit British show called Queer as Folk. It's a TV series in Britain. It was on like last year. And you two actually remind me of two of the main characters. Stuart, rich, beautiful. I have a lot of...
I'm not looking forward to this.
Tom is dying.
That's it all. No, and his friend...
Wonderful.
No, this is really good. His friend was also a hottie, but he had zero self-esteem. And he was always looking to... Stuart, whenever they went out to the clubs, it was Stuart, a.k.a. Andrew, who got all the guys. Meanwhile, Tom...
was held back by chains of his own making.
Exactly. Thank you. And the key was that they're actually in love with each other and they can't acknowledge it.
Sweetie, that's it.
It's the truth.
We've already been there and done that.
Right, old news.
Are there no second acts in American life?
I think we'd have to be very drunk.
Yeah.
That.
No, but we used to go out. But we used to go out.
Andy, this is great. This is kind of trashy, but it's worth mentioning. Andy and I would go out to the clubs on a given night of the week for Thursdays or Saturdays and decide that if we couldn't find
anybody of our choice,
we'd either just go fall back on each other, literally.
Yeah.
You're not even saying anything shocking. You've said this on the show before.
Oh, have we?
Yeah.
I tend to repeat myself.
I tend to repeat myself, too.
In fact,
I tend to repeat myself.
I didn't mean to smack you down like that, but I was just going to... I was wondering whether you would reveal something new and shocking about yourselves. For example,
you finally given up on the rest of the human race.
Well,
you need to pose shocking questions, and maybe we'll consider giving shocking answers.
Interesting. So,
pull a Barbara Walters on me. Throw something at me. Let's see what he's got.
Who's of all the current presidential candidates, which is the most attractive?
What? Is there an election or something?
I think so.
I have no idea.
Reagan's going to be out of office soon from like something like that. Watergate's almost
some over. Like, tree, Bush.
Bush, yes,
something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Next question.
Yeah.
See, you can't dare us to ask
shocking
questions.
The Rams won the football game. I'm from St. Louis. I know that. Okay.
You want evocative and shocking, you have to... pose a question.
No, I'm thinking of a question. So the first question that popped in my head was like, how much money or alcohol would it take for like us to get involved in an uninhibited threesome?
Well, you already established that. It's a Nissan Pathfinder.
It's more money than you have and more alcohol than I could have.
I'll try to come up with a more reasonable answer.
Sounds like $5 at a meal.
I'm thinking, buy me dinner.
Really?
No.
Wendy's?
Well, if it's a good dinner. Yeah. I mean, a really
good
dinner.
It's a really good dinner.
If you wait till tomorrow, McDonald's cheeseburgers are 48 cents.
That's all
it better be like a cheeseburger and like a 2-carat solitaire or something.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It might be something slipped into that hamburger, like a $1,000 bill. Then we'll talk.
But really, in order to make my sexual fantasies complete, I really need to know what the sort of financial parameters are of this problem because, you may think...
If either of us were to assign a monetary value and answer your question, that would bring us to the level of whores. And although one of us might find that term endearing, the other one might find it offensive.
Me.
I'll go out on a limb and I'll be the first whore. I'd sleep with I'd do anything RDJ wanted for $10 billion.
Come on. Be reasonable.
Okay, 500 and you've got me.
Really?
But that's only because I'm having a bad month and a lot of bills.
Yeah, I guess once we broke the whore ice, it just keeps on melting.
Right, I'm not going to name that too.
Exactly, like I'm not going to, I'll do it for 450.
So, can I take a second to plug our contest now?
Oh, please do.
So, this show is sponsoring a contest. We're calling it Sex Freak 2000, where you, our listeners, are competing for a chance to come on the air and tell the story you have of the freakiest sex you've had on the CMU campus. And the winner will get a Cinnabon and a chance to co-host a later show. Sex
on the CMU campus.
So, those of you who are interested...
The max and size Cinnabon, not this little Cinnabon.
Yeah, now the losers get the little Cinnabons. Our winner, our Sex Freak 2000, will get the giant Cinnabon.
It's like extra frosting.
Yes.
I have one that would knock the socks off everybody.
So, for those of you that are interested in contest details, go to our webpage, which is sextalk.wrct.org, and contest details are there. Basically, you have to email us a short summary of your freaky sex experience, and we'll get back to the finals, and then they'll come on the show.
Fascinating. Now, Lance, I didn't have a pencil when you mentioned that website address. Can you repeat it?
Sextalk, sextalk.wrct.org.
Fabulous. It has to be restricted to the CMU campus.
Well, I think we're going to be flexible on this one. It should be CMU-themed. Like, you should be wearing Carnegie Tech boxers at some point in the story, or something.
All I have to say is, if you're walking from the information desk to the equipment desk, and you see that,
yes,
that first squash court on the left?
Oh, my.
I can't walk by that area to this day without blushing, and I wasn't even involved.
Were you at least a witness, or?
No.
I could have easily been, but... Unfortunately, I missed out on the CMU event of the year.
Yes.
It sounds like we should save this for the Sex Freak show, but, I mean, if you know anything about the CMU squash courts, they're all glass-walled. Right. So anybody walking by could have...
I can't believe you just admitted that.
I know.
What if President Cohen is listening as we speak?
I doubt it.
President Cohen wasn't involved, I trust.
No, he was not. Right now.
Very good call.
Was there some other president that was involved?
No.
Just Honest Abe. Whatever that means.
Well, I immediately took it as a nickname for somebody's penis.
That's an interesting topic of conversation.
Yes.
Most bizarre sexual experiences are locations for sexual experiences.
Mine tops it, it seemed.
What would be your most visible? What was the location, most bizarre location where you had sex?
What, define, like, do you mean like Pittsburgh sex?
In general, sex.
Well, in Pittsburgh, they do the whole, like...
See, listen to him. He has so many.
Shut up, I do not.
He has to break it down by region, hemisphere.
No, shut up.
Which time zone are we talking about?
We're not judgmental on this show.
No, because in Pittsburgh, if you give oral stimulation, whatever, they call
okay.
that sex.
Where sex is anything from the third base on.
Yeah, we're playing by Bangkok rules here.
Come on, I posed an interesting evocative question.
Let me go through my little Rolodex, it'll take a while.
Squash courts is definitely interesting.
Yeah, squash courts, and then moved on to the locker room.
Uh-huh. Well, that's just a fantasy that most people never fulfill.
But I did.
Have you never fulfilled that fantasy, DJ? Heartworm in the heart of the rose.
Look, I haven't had sex in, like, you know, a decade.
A day!
You
had sex last night!
I can't believe a word he said.
By sex, do you mean hot, anonymous sex?
Yeah, I mean exclusive of my darling life partner.
It wasn't anonymous sex. I don't think I've never had anonymous sex. That's
I
knew their name.
We knew them for at least an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, we met him early.
Yeah.
Like 2 a.m.
No, really, a lot earlier than that. Because he followed us around forever.
That was an interesting movie, yeah.
I mean, are you saying that, like, if I totally innocently go up to the information desk and ask the person there a question, there's, like, a 50% chance that they're getting, like, a blowjob under the desk, and I'm not even aware of it?
It could happen.
That's possible.
I would think that would be bad for informational productivity, though.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
It's possible.
There's a couple people I wouldn't mind.
Giving some information to.
That's right.
Dispensing
genetic information.
Hmm.
So, we didn't mean to interrupt your story, though.
No, I don't know. Every time I've done it, it's been just like, you know.
You've never done anything in it, like, a very interesting.
Not really.
Surprising. This is extraordinarily surprising.
Well, squash courts, that impresses me.
Yeah, squash courts is impressive.
It has to be, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, I've never done the whole woods thing. I've never done.
It's bad, especially in the autumn. It's leaves everywhere.
Well, I mean, you would think the fall colors would bring out the romance in every man's heart.
There's a lot of things in a romantic sense that sound better than they actually wound up being. And I'll list some of them now.
I love you, Tom.
First, bathing together. It sounds like a really romantic thing. You're going to take a bubble bath together. But you get in the tub, and the water rises, and it gets really cold very fast, and you're sitting in pools of each other's swill, and it's just disgusting. Then cuddling. Cuddling is always fun and great for about 10 minutes. Until there's an arm that falls asleep. There's always one part of your body out of place. You get hot, you get uncomfortable. Every time they move, you wake up. It's miserable. Sex in the woods, equally as miserable. Insects, sticks, twigs. And even if you lie a blanket out, it's still a problem. Sex on the beach. Same exact thing. Sand.
Yeah.
Rash.
Sand, yeah.
Crabs.
Man, if we have an end of the year awards as far as sort of best rant or best extemporaneous soundbite, that's definitely
Tom definitely can go on the rant.
Might need to.
Feel free. I think our host needs a little kick in the ass. He would like to rant about his failings, both as a sexual being.
I really can't have any sympathy for him at all. You have a partner.
But don't... And I think all men can sympathize with this. Don't you see... I mean, part of what makes us feel good as we're going about our business every day is the recognition, the accolades from others. So when you're walking down the street, you want people to kind of turn their heads and be like, oh, who's that? Give me some of that. Give me a piece of that action. And that is where I'm squarely in the reject bin.
So just let me get this clear. You'd be happy if some man turned to you and said, you want some fries with that shake, baby, as you walked by. Something like that. Right?
Like, for example, this actually happened to my partner, who's more attractive than I am. Like, and it happens to him all the time. You know, he was at Taco Bell and bought a taco, and the guy was like, soft or hard? And then he kind of winked when he said hard. And I'm like, the Taco Bell guy, right? I mean, he's getting in everywhere.
Let's go to Taco Bell.
Really?
Cute?
Right, let's go.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Okay.
This happened a while.
The Taco Bell guy? Were you watching? Were you there?
Could you also have way read into that situation the wrong way?
No.
Because I think gay guys do that a lot.
Of course they do. Because you can find innuendos in pretty much any setting.
Right? My roommate wants everyone to be gay. And he assumes that everyone is gay. It's
although the soft or hard question seems custom built for innuendo.
That seems custom built for Taco Bell.
That's the beauty, is its dual nature.
Right. I mean, he said the same thing to a woman, she wouldn't get offended.
Yeah.
If
I can imagine a woman getting offended.
Soft or hard, it's Taco Bell. If he said it to a heterosexual man, he would have said whether or not he wanted soft or hard.
Yeah.
If he said it to a gay man, the gay man would go, ooh.
Well, it's all the tone of voice. If I was a Taco Bell employee and a woman ordered a taco and I said soft or hard,
you slapped and you'd lose your job.
Well,
but it's Taco Bell, so it's not much of a loss.
That's true.
And that's kind of your stakes here.
I agree.
But anyway, getting back to what you had said, I agree that recognition from other people is very important.
And it may surprise you to hear this, but in my younger days when I was first here. When I first arrived to Pittsburgh years ago, I actually was hit on. Like, you know, I've actually had waiters, like, slip me their phone number, right? People used to call me. People used to, like, try to figure out what my, like, deal was. But that's all over now. So there's actually been a change.
It's called getting older.
Gay life has an expiration date.
Yeah.
I hold very true to that.
What's the expiration date?
How old are you?
I see that once... The way I see it, if it was graphed out, I think once gay men reach 25, it starts going downhill.
Well, our host is a very mature 27, so...
No, I don't think that. No, I would say...
You're in denial, babe.
Shut up.
2 years and you're gone.
No, because you hooked up with someone that is definitely older than 25, and he looks good. You have to admit it.
Okay.
No, I would say 32.
It depends on...
no. Is it a sharp cutoff? Is it like your 32nd birthday year?
But then, no, because then the 3 and the 3 match, and then after that it just goes up from there. You know?
But then again, I do have to retract that statement because I find that I'm generally much more attracted to men over 30 than I am to men my own age.
But not our host, DJ. more.
I think our host is very cute, if you want my actual opinion. I think he is. But I'll tell you two things. I would not say you were unattractive, but the way you go on about yourself and how miserable you are about your existence, if we were to sit here, if you're basically looking for everybody around you here to say, oh, we think you're great, we think you're hot, we think you're supply, but we're not going to give you that attention if you're going to be constantly so negative about yourself. Mm-hmm. If you carry yourself in a more neutral way, you'll probably elicit a more positive response from people.
Well, I think part of what's going on is that our host wants to be a good host. He wants people, our audience, to relate to him. He wants our audience to feel like he's one of them. And so he has to trade off a little bit of his sizzling sexual potency for sort of a humble everyman quality.
Okay.
Did I tell you Jonathan, pre-college Jonathan?
Yes, you told me.
Oh. Whoa, what's happening?
Excuse me.
I believe we might have a caller coming on the line soon.
Exciting. I think we're having some technical difficulties getting the caller on the air. But in the meantime, I will...
Okay, a caller, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, caller. Well, thank you for calling in. Did you have a question or comment to share with us and the listening audience?
Yeah, DJ Warm in the Heart, is it possible that you're putting out the vibe that you're not available anymore? I mean, you weren't with your life partner when you got to Pittsburgh, right?
No, I wasn't. In fact, that's correct. I met my darling partner here at the Holiday in Pittsburgh. A gay bar just down the street.
What a beautiful
Pittsburgh's permanent place to be seen, to see and be seen.
Oh yeah.
So, caller, if I understand what you're saying correctly, you're saying that DJ Worm in the Heart of the Rose is subconsciously sabotaging his sexual appeal because he doesn't actually want to sleep with anyone other than his partner.
Perhaps.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Well, let me ask our DJ question in reference to that exact statement. Say, after this show, I told you that you could have me sexually. If I were to say that, would you say no?
He'd probably fall over first.
Now, when you say have me, are you referring to actually us having a sexual encounter together, or do I just get videotapes of you?
No, we would actually have a sexual encounter together.
See, that makes me very nervous because I think you're right. I think you've keyed on something. Is what I want. Like, when the opportunity is actually available to me, then I get nervous, and I'm like, well...
What if you could put him in a Dorothy from the Wizard of Oz wig? Would that help?
Well, that would be different. As long as I could...
You just want the opportunity to tell somebody no.
You want the bark and not the bite.
Ooh.
He wants the banana and not the peel.
I want the cheese and not the curd.
That's not a
problem. Oh, you want the curd, too.
That's not a problem.
Interesting.
So is that the case? You would turn me down?
Not exactly turn you down, no. I mean, if you're testing...
I think our caller has made testing me. Valid point.
Thank you.
Caller, you basically just ended the show, like, for the rest of time. There is no longer a show.
So what is your answer to that question?
See, it's psychologically very complicated because Mostly, what I'm looking for is the affirmation. I want to believe that I'm sexy. I don't actually necessarily want to have a lot of sex with other people other than my partner, but I want to be offered it so that I can reject it.
See?
That's basically the key.
Does it matter who thinks you're sexy? Could it be anyone?
Well, I mean, it has to be people that I consider sort of desirably sexy themselves. Like,
You're obviously just not getting the level of emotion that you need from your own relationship.
Yeah, evidently your partner isn't giving you the attention you need.
Right.
So it was evidenced by your description of your stunningly romantic Valentine's Day.
Right.
The person that I'm with constantly tells me how wonderful I am, and I dig it. So
I'm constantly told how wonderful I am by people I'm not in a relationship.
Exactly.
Caller, did you have another comment?
No, but thanks.
We love you.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, caller, for calling in. That was delightful.
If only all our callers were so powerfully perceptive as to shatter the illusions that DJ Worm had of
the
apple.
One call.
Worm the rose, please.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, caller. As I was going to say, if only our callers were also perceptive as to shatter the illusions that you cling tightly to, like a prom dress.
I feel like you're all tearing me down in order to build me up even stronger.
No, actually... We're going to tear you down and leave in 5 minutes.
So if anyone else wants to call in, the phone number remains 621-9728.
Or if the same caller wants to call in, we're
Right. If she has any more pearls of wisdom for us and the listening audience.
So, well, I have a question.
Ask it.
Okay. I think I will then. So, I've recently started dating somebody, but the relationship is still new. It's fresh, like a rose with no worm in its heart.
You and so my question is... the worm yet.
I'm sorry, what?
You haven't found the worm yet.
So you're saying there's always a worm?
Peel back a few more petals and it'll be a worm. Yeah.
See, well, this is my question,
down
right?
There. Right.
I can see this relationship going for quite a while, and I want to know what I'm in for. I want to know, will I inevitably, you know, tear all the petals off and find the worm at the heart?
I don't know. Have that color come back. She's pretty good at...
Well, there's worms in any rose.
Yeah.
But you just have to know...
You have to spray with
you have to know the right pesticides to
do
use.
I just, or I don't just throw them in a bottle of tequila and do tequila sugar.
What did you get her for Valentine's Day?
What did I get her for Valentine's Day?
This will be good. Long pause.
I know.
I cooked her dinner, and I gave her a book about weekend trips in Pennsylvania. And
good God.
Let's go to La Trobe.
No, actually, it wasn't Pennsylvania. It was, it was the Mid-Atlantic region.
King of Prussia is great this time of the year.
It was Virginia and... New Jersey and the whole area. And
well, that's actually a very thoughtful gift because that implies that you want to spend your weekends traveling with her. Although then you might get roped into doing that weekend after weekend, being dragged from Pennsylvania port to Pennsylvania port.
Or it might
be
that you're just too cheap to actually do a weekend. You just want to, you know, give the pamphlet.
I mean, my motives are legion. Who knows? Because I wanted to buy her jewelry but I was afraid of being tacky, I got her
forward.
A gift certificate to Lazarus and promised to go out looking for something together.
Gift certificate?
As well.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very romantic. There's a lot of negativity over in those
guys. Do not get the girls gift certificates. You take her shopping and you let her buy. That way, you are the man who's touching into your feminine side, taking her shopping, and you spend the money.
Andy's very good at helping people touch into their feminine.
Well,
side.
The implicit there was a note with the gift certificate suggesting that we go out together shopping.
Oh well, that's good.
I think, actually, how long have you been seeing her?
2 months, about a little more than 2 months.
Aw, you did such a good job.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad.
So
I give you credit. That's better than
did
what
you
I
get
thought.
Some?
Shake
your head, yes
some
or no.
Sex.
Yes, yeah. Some sex.
Well, ladies no kiss and tell, right?
You ain't no lady.
okay, yes.
And I didn't even get an e-card. I didn't even get an electronic mail card in Valentine's. This is why I'm bitter and sad.
See, that you could, like, those are completely
you guys are made for each other.
See, if we had sex, I would write a little computer script to automatically send you an e-card every day as a token of my life.
Why every day? I mean, every day. That seems too long to go without thinking of it.
Well, every 8 minutes.
Oh, yeah, you could totally do that.
I'd hope that if I had sex with you, I'd get more than an e-card. I'd hope that e-card would have some e-money stuff inside. Maybe an e-card.
So now you've tainted all the good feelings that you've built up over the course of the show.
We shouldn't have. I have given you
said
a lot. I have given you a lot of reasons to be happy in the course of the show.
But you offered me sex, and now you're saying that there's a monetary figure attached to it.
You were the one who
asked us in the beginning how much it would take.
Right, and then you.
I have already. You said that you were more interested in finding out that people find you attractive than you are actually being involved with people.
And Tom.
And I told you that I thought you were a good-looking guy
from the very beginning, when our first show.
Our first show.
We'll be honest. Ooh. About it. Yeah.
Interesting.
And have you played to those feelings like an honest man searching for companionship? No, you've toyed with them on the air like some sort of host desperate for ratings.
I feel
you guys
so
get
used.
Ratings?
Well, we get rating.
Are you referring to our faithful La Trobe listener, Ray Ting?
I don't even get it. It's funny.
Asian person.
Not a Carnegie.
No. Yes, thank you, Ray. You've been a rock for us.
So I've given you everything you needed.
Yeah.
Now you should be a completely fulfilled.
Now we never have to come on the show again.
Person.
Except you haven't offered to spend the weekend in the cage in my basement.
I never agreed to the cage.
See, this is your tactic. You keep upping your demands.
Yeah, that's right. All right, yeah. So say I said, okay, this weekend, that's great. I'll spend the weekend in your
cage. And then
once
he shows up, you're like, okay, the cage and the blindfold.
Right.
Well, then he'd probably be like, wait, I haven't cleaned the cage yet.
Keep adding on to it. So you have that snuff fantasy going on or whatever.
Yeah,
that
once you said
and
he
the violet wand. And you'd have to wear that little Luke Skywalker outfit.
I'd rather wear that. Remember the Princess Leia one? I like that. That's cute.
There was a Princess Leia outfit, like
the
pajamas?
Jedi, the Jedi.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, why not?
Oh, that's like a little cinnamon bun outfit. That's cute.
It's cute. Perhaps with the Cinnabons for the sex freak contest coming up here in diversity, we can have our listeners, our winning listener, wear them on the side of
his or her head. I don't know about you. I'd like you to repeat both the website and, the website.
Sextalk.wrct.org. Check it for contest details and full archives of the show. Fantastic. Not to mention candid photographs and a biography of our lovely host.
Oh, we've got a call, and our producer's not putting them on the air. That's so harsh.
Who comes on after this? Why can't we just go overtime?
A music show comes on after this.
Well, the person's not here yet.
We're extremely professional. We never go overtime. Who was that?
We have a minute and 10 seconds.
He was calling to tell you that he wanted to be the man in the cage.
Wow. Where's your guy?
Sad.
True. If you want to be the man in the cage, feel free to go to sextalk.wrct.org and describe your fantasies of being the man in the cage for host Worm in the Heart of the Rose.
I'm going to have to put my guinea pig somewhere else that weekend. But that could be arranged.
And remember that you're going to have to share that cage with me.
We could easily have him, like, be the man in the cage contest. Have a number of people on and have them audition in ways which you could concoct yourself for maximum degradation.
I'm trying to think of the fast way to get out of the studio.
There's only one
way.
Your pain
will be soon over.
Well, actually, we're almost out of time, I think. And Andy and Tom, you don't know how you've saved us. I mean, we were going to spend an hour talking about our sexual feelings for each other, and that was
that's why we
painful.
Ran
as fast as we
and that's
could.
Why we're going to run.
Screaming and flailing.
So
4, 3, 2.
Thank you all for listening. I have to do the station ID. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. Thank you all for listening. Tune in again next week. Thank you, Lance, Andrew, and Tom, and good night.